This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Big City Roadhouse presents Rocky Mountain College Kickoff on KFKA. With Brady Hull, Dustin Urbis, and Mike Danson, here's Tanner Schwint.
Welcome into the Aloe Fiber Studios here on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. I am Tanner Schwint. Happy to be with you once again here on Rocky Mountain College Kickoff, and we've got a lot to discuss. A lot has transpired around the college football world in our area. We've got Brady Hull, host of the whole show, Dustin Urbis with Front Range Spare Change, and Mike Danson making his way all the way back from Ireland. Micah Kilpatrick, of course, doing the production work for us here on Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. We've got to start with what was the... I don't even know if there's an adjective that I can use on FCC airwaves to accurately describe what we saw from CSU last week, boys. Was that just ugly, or was that just the worst football game you've ever seen in your life, Dustin? I don't think I'm that far out asking that question.
Yeah, it was one of the worst. It's just so clunky. Between penalties, between offensive flow, between just in-game situations and timeouts, like, it's all just clunky to me. It's gross.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, and Washington State was supposed to be, you know, really bad, and that may still be true, but they won 20-3, and on ESPN's worst 10 teams in college football, CSU's not there yet, but they're, like, in the mix, like they were receiving votes on that side. So
yeah, it's real, real bad. And yes, I'm hearing the same thing you're getting in
very
your ears too. Very echoey,
very
here in the Aloe Fiber Studios for some reason here today. Mike, you were in Ireland. Did you pay attention to anything other than the Guinness?
I did pay attention to the scores the next morning, because all of these games were going at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. I believe when I looked to see like the CU game, it said it started at 3:05 a.m. my time.
Nice.
So,
oh, don't tell me you weren't still up.
I was not. No.
How many Guinness did you drink in one day? Was it a more? Did you drink more Guinness in one day than points scored by the Rams offense?
Guinness less, but the Irish Red that I found, it was a lot more.
A lot more than three?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, if you're playing the shots after every score for CSU, you're able to drive home.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. Yeah. On that front. So now Matt Mummy is calling the plays this week, tonight, 8:30, taking on San Diego State. Does that excite anybody? I can't get there. I can't get there.
Well, the one thing I look at, Jackson Broussard taking over, 72% completion percentage. Okay, that's a place to start from. The problem I see is, who's he going to throw the ball to?
Yeah.
The receiving core is really not good. Outside of Winfield, who is average, maybe a little above average, the rest of them are just not there.
Yeah, Matt Mummy takes over through my little algorithm here, the 124th ranked offense in the country right now.
And how many?
A whopping 137.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So the only bright side is, like,
I mean, it can't be worse.
It really can't. Like, I'm hoping that, you know, his family is known for the air raid. I just kind of hope they make a change and have something different. Like, I don't want him to be calling the same plays out of the same playbook and having to think that that's going to be just wildly different.
I didn't mean to interrupt you and put you on the spot over there. I see you're eating your Papa John's pizza still.
Yes.
Dustin has just delivered that great monologue with a Papa John's crust in his hand still, because we love Papa John's, and right now...
True talent.
When you something like that. When you use code KFKA on any carryout, a single-topping large pizza, it's $7.99. So you can get a large pizza for $8 when you use code KFKA on any carryout. I'll let you finish that pizza up over there. There, Dustin.
Thanks.
Mummy, what do you think? I know you're close with him, but
I'm not close with him, but I like him. You know, he's the son of Air Raid. But the problem is, and again, in air raids, like, you still run the ball. It's just a different kind of concept. You're wanting to spread it out more, pre-snap, receivers all over the place. But with an air raid, you need a stud tight end, and you need amazing wide receiver play, guys that can get separation. And we haven't seen that. I mean, Jackson Warren, we got the small sample size for the first week against Washington, was outstanding. And then he got one catch against UNC, and then he's been hurt ever since. So my hope is that, honestly, okay, if Mummy's calling the plays, I don't think you go too far away from the plan that it should be, which is line it up tight and run the ball. Like, that's where they're going to win games. But they've gotten away from that. Dupree is an amazing running back. I don't know why the guy is not getting more carries. It doesn't make sense to me. On the surface, no, it doesn't excite me, because it's, if this was the move, this would have been the move. And I've said that a lot about CU when they made a quarterback change, when CSU's made two major changes now. If these were going to work, they would have worked at the beginning of the season.
And your defense isn't good, so no. Running the ball to control the clock a little bit makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. That's the big thing.
I'll push back. We don't know if this is the decision, right? We don't know if this was the right decision, because a lot of time with these, and I'm not singling out Jay Norvell here, but pride gets in the way a lot, man. And if Norvell's like, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it this way, and then the public perception gets so bad, it's where it's at in Fort Collins right now, you're forced to. So I don't know. I don't know if we know if it's the answer or not yet.
Well, right. We don't know if it's the answer, but you asked if it was exciting anybody in this room.
No.
And I don't, if this was the plan in the off season, and it was like, you know what, Mommy, we elevated him to pass game coordinator, which they did. And if at that point it was, we're going to have Mommy call the plays because I want to focus on the overall and, you know, dip my toes under the defensive side. Because you hear coaches do that all the time. Coaches will, in the NFL, you have guys that don't call plays that are head coaches because they want to manage the game, because it is a lot. It's a lot to handle. And so you're managing the game. So you'll see that. It's not really a knock. You'll see offensive coordinators, when they get elevated to being a head coach, they don't call the plays as much. They have their hands in it. They help design the plays and go over that. And they do kind of talk about the plan. But it would have been easier to take if it were at the beginning of the season, not when all hell's broken loose and you're a bad football team.
Any saving it?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything saving it. Like, I was just going to bring in, like, talent brings something too. And
you can run a lot of things if you have talent.
Correct. And I think the previous few years, they've had that talent, the NFL talent. And now I don't see really a guy other than the offensive linemen that probably are that talented.
And now your prospective NFL guy is out for the game and maybe out for the season.
Right.
And you bring it up. Like, Torrey Horton, Travis Hunter, those kind of guys, they cover up a lot of what you can do. If you could just say, streak across the field, you will be open. Because as soon as you start running, the cornerback that is one-on-one with you will fall behind you by a step every step. And then the middle linebacker won't be able to stay with you either. You will be open. Whether it was a good play design or not, That's as easy as it can be when you have a stud like that. But when you don't have guys that can create separation, you have to get really creative in play calling.
Yeah, that's where like the true systems come into play. When you hear about coaches and their style and things, that's when that becomes super important. And when you have Jay Norvell supposed to be the air raid guy, and then now you don't see that. So now he's implementing a system, from what I understand as an outsider, that's not his. Or his specialty. That's why it's as clunky to me as a guy just watching it on TV.
Norvell's been the beneficiary of two really big moments in CSU football recent history, and that was that CU game that they battled late into the night, where it was up and down the field, where Torrey Horton was, and it was the Holy Hulker. You take away those two moments, and you look back, and what memorable moment can you think of CSU under Norvell's era? I can't think of anything other than those two moments. Norvell's been he's been really good at putting bandages on things. He realized, okay, we can't do this air raid last year. We play in a crap conference. Let's just run the damn ball. And that's where it came from. I think he's been the beneficiary of a crap schedule last year and two really big moments. I think that's the only thing that why he's still here at this time.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just a tough situation, really, overall, because the amount of games that they won last year, you would think, would translate into this year. You know, the losses, they didn't really have that many guys that they lost, in my opinion. Just the expectations lead to where we are now. Like, if the expectations weren't as high, I don't think we would be as worried, I guess. Maybe I could be wrong with that, but I think the expectations led a little bit to where we are.
It almost feels like a general manager who can't draft in the NFL. Like, you're overvaluing these recruits that you're coming in, thinking they can do things that you get them out there and you're through the spring practices and you go, oh my gosh, these guys can't do these things that we thought they were going to do. And now you're trying to scramble to put something together that will work for the group you have.
Well, and so many of these guys that we talked about in the offseason that we would hear from, like Jaquez Evans, Donut, like, this is going to be a big-time defensive player. And you were hearing the media members and guys get excited, including me. You hear this name. But you haven't seen that. You haven't seen these guys that we're talking so highly about. Jackson Warren, I still think, is a player. That's a really unique situation, though, and he knew Matt Mummy. He went to his quarterback camp. He was a quarterback. Sometimes you luck into those kind of guys, but there's just not enough of these big names. Now, to credit to Norvell, he recruited Horton, and Horton followed him from Nevada, and that's his guy.
Yeah.
He recruited Dallin Holker to transfer over to CSU, so he gets some of that credit.
But is there another memorable moment?
No, I mean, not moment. Last year, you just won games that you probably were supposed to win. Once you got, maybe not the San Jose State game, but once you won that, you started to become a favorite in all those games. So, you know, they beat Wyoming and they beat Air Force. Those are moments, I guess. They're rivalry wins.
Yeah. Well, and the Air Force one, wasn't that the whole, no, that was
Boise State. And the That's only right. time CSU's ever beat
That's
Boise
right.
State.
Right. Aaron texting in today. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 888-530-0043. Going back to what the dude down the hall had to say earlier, I find college coaches having a system identity kind of weird. Institute the offense you have the players for. Simple enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just when you get into situations that, like Mike brought up, when the talent that you've brought in doesn't work out the way that you want it to work out with, like, your system should be the backup,
the
backup plan to me. And it just seems like we haven't seen it, or I guess maybe he just doesn't even want to try because he knows it's not going to work.
Is it the system or is it the players? Like, at this point, I mean, is it the system that's not working, or is the talent level on CSU's roster that bad where there's not a system that can save it?
I feel like it's probably a bit of both, honestly.
That wasn't the question.
I understand. But if you have this system
and
you're recruiting for that and the players don't work out, then your system is done for. So to me, I was always one when I was coaching high school football. I know it's way different, but you have to adjust what you're going to do based on the players you have that time.
Yeah.
So you have to change your system. So you have to fit your players.
The issue with what's going on in CSU right now, is it players or is it system?
I think it's the system.
Yeah. Where are you at on
Yeah,
this?
I would say system.
But he's not wrong when he says,
no,
oh,
I know he's
correct.
Not, but I gotta bust him a little bit.
The system's
guy just
not
come back
working.
From Ireland. He's got it too good right now.
And the players are, like, name dogs on this team. I mean, dogs. Like, actual dogs. Like, Torrey Horton-style dogs.
I don't have
Tanner Morley, like, and he's done.
And he's
like
an offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just that entire unit.
Owen Long?
Yes,
yeah,
there's like, one.
Sure.
Yeah, but to be
totally
a really good team,
Mike.
To be a really good team, you have to have five of those guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not just a linebacker. Like,
right.
Yeah, on a bad defense, too, right?
I would throw in there that running back crew isn't terrible, right? Lloyd Avant.
Yeah, but are they dogs? We don't know because we're not allowing them to eat. You're not, you know, you're letting
the dogs out.
And as soon as your dog starts running around, you're like, come back in.
You can whistle better than I can.
Well, I have a dog. I yell at him all the time. But, like, as soon as my dog runs down the steps to go run around, I'm like, instant. He's getting ready to get
too
a
many
good
cats?
Speed on. And I'm like, get back in the house. And he's like, dude, I was just getting going here. That's this running back crew. Mm-hmm. We are seeing it, man.
Actually, yeah. I like that. We got two. Was it the East Carolina coach way back in the day? Got too many cats walking around in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Oh, do I look good? Need more dogs out there. CSU's got to have something.
Well, why does Justin Marshall have two carries for 28 yards against Washington State last week? He had two carries. He averaged 14 yards a carry. And you never see him again.
Who do you think's going to get the? Who do you think's going to get the most carries tonight?
No idea.
So I text Kevin Lytle.
Randy Orton.
I text Kevin Lytle in preparation for the show and asked him. I said, "Who's going to get the ball tonight?" And he said, "It'll mostly be Jalen Dupree and Lloyd Avant. So they're just going to keep
which they should. But if you get Justin Marshall in and you give him a carry." And he breaks it for 14 yards, then you give him
that one carry
for 14 yards, in my mind, equals four more chances if he's a third, fourth string guy.
But Dupree's averaging 5 yards per carry. Avant is averaging 7 yards per carry. So it's
either one.
Yeah, just
you run the damn ball.
Exactly. Dupree had 13. Okay, they lose 20-3 to Washington State. But this game was never
close.
It was never to a point where you can't run.
Oh, I got you.
Until maybe the fourth quarter. Because there were no points in the second half.
Right.
So you're never to a point where you get one score, it makes a game. Jalen Dupree had 13 carries, and Jackson Brissot actually was second by taking off and running the ball with 12. The next in line was Lloyd Avant with 5 in a game that was 10-3 at the first.
I think what Brady just said answered that question that I posed a couple minutes ago. If it's the system or the players. Backup quarterback played last week. We just talked about this for 15 minutes. Didn't bring him up once. It's the system that's failing these kids, in my opinion as well. CSU San Diego State tonight. Don't worry about taking that NyQuil or that Tylenol PM. Just watch this football game. You'll be able to sleep like a baby. Hey, we're off and rolling here on Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. Text us today, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. We'll be back with more right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 to 1310 KFK.
Hello.
Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. We finally found a way to get our Dwight Yoakam fix. I had to bribe Micah with Papa John's pizza, but thank God I used code KFKA. Single topping large pizza, $7.99. You can do it as well. You can bribe anyone.
You kept your Michael fed.
I kept my Michael fed.
Uh-huh. I still hate this music, though.
That's okay.
It's the art of the deal.
Uh-huh. Life ain't fair, Mike.
But you love pizza.
Life ain't always beautiful. As Gary Allen once said.
God, Dwight Yoakam's awful.
Man, things are not beautiful down in Boulder. CU loses to BYU 24-21. I hate them because they covered the spread, and that pissed me off. By the way, we'll talk about the spread, but Mike was 0 for 4. And Brady and I were 1-3.
Nice.
2-2 by Derbs won the week last week.
You're welcome,
everyone. We're going to strive to be better. And we've got a doozy of a performer of the week again. So who's walking away with the shame of crown? We'll talk about that coming up in hour number two, the shame of crown. Where are you guys at in Boulder right now? Where are you guys at on the Buffaloes?
The offensive line is really, really bad.
Yeah.
And one of the things, as I dig deeper and as more stats become available through the season on PFF, one of the things that I saw this week that stood out to me, passer rating for the quarterback, whoever it is, when the pocket is clean, 120. Passer rating when they're under pressure, you guys have any guesses?
62.
24.
40.
13.
Oh,
dang it. I went in between you guys.
That is disgusting.
13 when under pressure.
When under pressure,
their passer rating drops from 120 to 13.
Well, it's just Caden Salter just runs. I mean, I love the running quarterbacks, but.
Yeah, you got to get over that.
Gosh, you
got to get over that, by the way.
Running quarterbacks are fun to watch.
I know.
Hey, God. This may be the stupidest hot take ever, but.
It probably will be coming from you.
Salter is not the problem. The offensive line and the receivers are the problem.
Is that a hot take? I don't even feel like that's a hot take.
But go look at Buff's Twitter.
No, yeah, it's a scary place.
Salter is the problem.
Pat Shurmur's the damn problem.
Yeah, Pat Shurmur would be the number one
Shurmur
for me.
Shurmur is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But not the problem.
All right, Mike, quickly give us a couple names as they get ready to take on TCU, our right-hand construction, opponent construction for the Horned Frogs or the Horny Toads.
So, offensively, quarterback Josh Hoover, 1,242 yards passing, 66% completion, 11 TDs, 4 interceptions.
Dude's a stud.
We just talked about CU's passer rating when a clean pocket. So, Hoover is 102, and it goes up when he's under pressure to 122. So that's the kind of stuff that you're looking for. O-line, not very good. Right tackle is the best of the group. Tight end, DJ Rogers, is a guy to watch out for. Defensively, Jamil Johnson is an 80 PFF grade. He has 2 interceptions. They have 12 sacks as a team. And the linebacker core is the weakness on this defense.
Yeah, TCU is a real football team. They're basically in the top 10 of every offensive stat you want to look at. For my deal, they're 14th in drive efficiency, they're 8th in explosive drives, and they're 3rd through the air. All of those things lead to putting up points and putting up a lot of them in a hurry. So for me, I enjoy watching these teams, so I'll 100% be tuning into this one.
Yeah, it was a great game last week, too. TCU and Arizona State, the Sun Devils pulled it out, but... Mm-hmm. Like that's a top tier matchup right there.
Absolutely,
for both of those teams. And TCU, might want a little revenge because they wanted to spoil Coach Prime's beginning at the FBS in the FBS era, and it was CU that ended up upsetting him that game. That was the last time they faced each other.
Eric McAllister is going to be a damn problem for CU, in my opinion. I actually sat down and watched an entire TCU game earlier this year against SMU. Now, SMU's defense is absolutely horrible. But this Eric McAllister, 8 catches, 254 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the day. I got to tell you, apathy is sitting in for me with Colorado already this year. They're just not good, man. I just don't think they're a good football team. And more importantly, I don't think they're a well-coached football team. I don't think Prime and his Hall of Fame coaches, Hall of Fame players, I don't think it's a good coaching staff in Boulder.
They're just average to me. So, I'll forever say this, the Coach Prime coaching thing, he's the best recruiter, he's the best hype person, but they let talent speak in Boulder, and they just don't have as much of it as they did last year. Like Mike said, the receiving crew is having a harder time getting open. That leads to Salter using his legs more. There's just a lot of indecision of things. We can talk about, the timeouts and all of the game management things. It just leads to an average football team. They might compete in the Big 12 because they'll figure it out offensively, I believe. But I just don't know how fast they can do that. It's just meh to me.
I look at it this way. He said in the offseason this is a better roster than he had last year. Their recruiting numbers were actually good before the season began. Like, they're getting guys that are highly rated dudes. So, where's the disconnect?
Who's rating the prospects? And this is a conversation I know you've had with head coach Ed Lamar.
Yeah, but on
Coach these 24/7 sports. I think people buy into that a lot too much. I do, because like I said, Mike was talking about, obviously, high school. There was a kid he was a freshman going over at Severance High School, and he was going to play quarterback, and he was already spending, tens of thousands of dollars a year on quarterback camps because they were tied in with his 24/7 sports rating. Right. You're buying that.
But
you're
Coach Prime doesn't need 24/7 sports. That guy is the most connected to all football than any coach in college football outside of Nick Saban.
Those ratings aren't meaning anything.
But that doesn't, that might, I'm sorry, but that might be something that Ed Lamb has to look at, and maybe even Jay Norvell. Coach Prime doesn't have to look at that.
His recruits don't matter when they come in.
But then they're not recruiting them. Then if they hear intel that that guy is, oh, he's a five, but he's actually not, then Coach Prime's not going to go after him. If he's told that a three is actually a five, he's going to get him.
Like, you think he's got to dial it? Because
yes,
what we're seeing on the
field.
We're seeing on the field. So then what is it?
I just said it. Like, the coaching is bad. The recruiting is amazing.
So you think it's just the development of those recruits?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the coaching is bad, and I think you have a bunch of young people. Marshall Faulk was a Hall of Fame running back. We don't know if he's a good coach or not. Warren Sapp is a Hall of Fame defensive lineman. We don't know. It might work out someday, and I think that's why Coach Prime wanted Pat Shurmur on this team, because you have experience with a bunch of former players that are still trying to figure this out.
You get these coaches that were amazing players, and they're out there coaching, and they're going, well, I'm showing them how to do it. Why can't they just do it?
Yeah.
And it's like, because they're not you,
they're not
Warren
you.
Sapp. They're not you. They can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to teach them a way that they can do it.
Coach Prime, like, dude, he was obviously his NFL career, but he was in the media for so long. If he sees a guy for a random 6A school in Texas, and it says he's a 5A or a five-star recruit, he knows exactly who to call to see if that's BS or not. And that person's going to say, he's probably more like a 4. And then Coach Prime needs to make the decision whether he's good. So I think he's getting intel, good intel. It's just, it's not working right now.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. If you're saying it's not the development.
Really good.
Right, but you're saying it's the development that's failing. It's the coaching development of these kids.
I tend to think so at this point. But again, you were close against BYU. If Caden Salter doesn't take that one, what was that sack for 20-yard loss? If Coach Prime calls a timeout before he throws the interception, you might. They were rolling. They were actually driving right there. So it's just they might be okay, but the coaching I need to see. He's going to be able to recruit until this thing finally goes stale, and that takes two or three bad seasons.
I think this is a really good take by a texter here by Faith. It's okay to say it's a rebuilding year. Those happen.
It is.
If you hype up your roster, then the expectations are higher than last year.
Yeah.
You can recruit well and still be rebuilding. The talent can be there, but they need time to gel. And I think that's probably what
Derbs is saying. Like, could they compete in the Big 12 eventually? They could. They also need their coaches to grow, too, which is still possible. I mean, that's... We always give coaches a hard time.
Do you think Prime's able to grow? Or do you think he can get out of his own way? Because I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
There's two... Mark Johnson tells me this all the time, and on the air and off the air. He said there's two Coach Prime. There's Deion Sanders and there's Coach Prime.
Mm.
Sit down and talk to Deion Sanders with zero of these things.
These microphones.
Or cameras. And he's pretty intellectual, going off on different football topics, life, whatever. Turn the cameras on and stuff, and it's defensive. And, you know, and it's, we got the best, we got a better run. What are you talking about? We lost Travis Hunter. We got the best roster we've ever had. So it just depends on which one of those guys shows up to the party.
Want to give you a chance to jump in here, Dustin. I know we kind of dominated that there, but a chance for you to jump in and add anything on that conversation.
Yeah, for me, I'll just always go back to the Pat Shurmur thing. So Pat Shurmur is always going to want the stay-in-the-pocket quarterback and deliver it on time and precision routes and all of those kind of things, and that's not what this team is built for right now. I think they're in that adapting process.
Very good. All right, there goes some CU talk. They take on TCU tomorrow, 5:30 on the road on Fox. We'll have more. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Yeah. always turn it down. That's your first mistake. Turn that back up.
Yeah, that's a bad mistake there, Mike.
Oh, hey, we have a deal.
You can control him.
Hey, if you like music like this and Bush Light, we got a cousin COVID party going on at my place tonight. Brady's going to be there.
I'm not a cousin.
Bring your cousins.
I don't have a relationship.
Can I borrow one of yours?
Yes, I've got plenty of them.
Mike does. When every other conversation from Tanner starts with, yeah, I was talking to my cousin last night. Oh, the one from... No, not that one.
How dare you? Completely different one, man. What happened? We're from where?
Holyoke.
No. You idiot. It's from Brush.
Wait, are all of them in Brush?
Yes, the majority of them. Now, this I've been waiting for an opportunity to talk about here is my cousins. It's what happens when your mom is one of 14, okay? That's the thing, okay? There's Schwentz everywhere.
Oh, no, we get the math of it and everything.
So
it's just
babies are made.
You're very close to the cousins.
Yeah, of course. Too close. One. Gotta make the joke.
I was like, why does... Michael said you guys don't do... On Good Morning NoCo, you don't do
Wyoming,
picks for Wyoming.
Yeah.
And I said, if Tanner was a state, he would be Wyoming.
Yeah, very accurate.
Why aren't you picking Wyoming?
Dude, I've got a co-host that doesn't know what a Wyoming poke is. Like,
cowboy.
Yeah, I got obstacles I got to work around down there. Okay, let's talk about Air Force for a minute here. The Falcons. I think this team. I feel like I've got this team dialed in more than any of these other teams that we talk about. Offense, very good. Where did it come from? I don't know. Where did it go? I don't know. For the defensive side, Cotton Eye Joe. Mike, give us our right hand construction, opponent construction of Navy this weekend.
Navy's offense is led by quarterback Blake Horvath. He has an 87.9 PFF grade. The whole backfield actually grades out well over 80 by PFF. So the backfield, the fullback, not that there's a lot of fullbacks playing anymore.
Great.
But
hey, now we go to Mike for fullback talk. Everybody don't nod off while you're driving down the highway.
He's the number one rated fullback in college football right now.
So, oh, boy. What an honor. Four of them?
Yeah, I don't remember what the number was. I think it was five. But on defense, defensive tackle Landon Robertson, he can wreck a game. 3.5 sacks. He has a 90 PFF grade on the year. Cornerbacks are average. Safeties are not good, but it's not like Air Force is going to throw it a lot. Mark Anthony Parker, linebacker, is the leading tackler.
I will say that was the one thing you and I got into a little bit about Derbs last week on this show. I would listen to Front Range Spare Change, and I loved it. And I'm listening to the Air Force take, and they're like, one of them was on one side of the over, one of them was on the other. Derbs and Clayton were on different sides. I believe you were on the over side, were
correct.
You not?
Yep.
And I was screaming listening to Front Range Spare Change. I'm like, just play the freaking over! Like, see who was right. And we had that conversation last week. And it was exactly, I think we actually broke this down pretty good on Front Range, on Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. That Air Force defense is so bad that even the dinks and dunks that Hawaii did resulted in big chunk plays because they can't tackle.
Yeah, 100%. Air Force is 136th in the country now on defense.
Out of 137?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That seems really good. We got, one spot to get to. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're almost there, Air Force. You're almost there.
Strive for greatness.
So on the Navy side of things here, it's going to be a different ball game than what Air Force has just faced. But Navy is a very, very efficient offense. Number one in the land on the rush. 21st in explosive drives, which that always raises my eyebrow a little bit when you get a traditional running-only team. That means they do it in multiple ways, and like a ton of huge gaps are involved there where the defense just has no idea. Will Air Force be able to stop that better than what they've seen? You would hope, because that's what they practice against every week, but I don't know.
Can we talk about what a bad beat that was on the Air Force side last week as well? I was texting with you. Dustin was the only one who took Hawaii, and I'm like, oh my God, that is a terrible loss. And he goes, what do you mean? I picked Hawaii. And I'm like, yeah, you can, you know what you can do. Where are you at on Air Force? I think they're actually a fun football team. They may not win a lot of games, but they're fun.
I've had more fun watching Air Force than I have any of the other teams we've talked about on this show.
Not even close.
I mean, you know, not to say we're not rooting for Ed Lamb, but it's not exactly like fireworks at UNC all the time. Wyoming's been pretty boring. CSU's been pretty boring. CU, sometimes Caden Salter excites me, and then we go back to boring. Air Force has the most entertaining offense of all of these guys.
Who had that on their damn bingo card before the college football season started?
Well, and normally this is a team that they pass like four times in a game, and they pack a punch when they pass. They're like 3 of 4, maybe 120 yards, and then the rest is rushing. But you got like Zarka's 10 of 12 for 278 yards and 3 touchdowns. Those are not normal Air Force numbers.
Well, and you put it in, like, because you still say 12, and it's like, well, they barely throw the ball.
Right, but that's a lot.
That's tripling their number of passes from last year.
Yeah, it's crazy. One of the things that stood out to me when I was looking at Air Force is their top three receivers, they all average over 20 yards a reception. So it's not like it's just like, oh, we got it over the line, we're going to gain 7 yards. If they're going to throw it, they're going to take shots.
A lot of bombs, yeah. That Navy does the same thing. Blake Horvath, this is actually a very good quarterback matchup, which is something that you don't traditionally see in these military-style schools. Blake Horvath is incredible. So this will be a very fun game.
I'm going to throw it out there, too. We don't do a lot of uniform talk, but I don't know if you guys have seen the uniforms that are going to be unveiled this Saturday for Air Force. They draw inspiration from the F-16 Fighting Falcon fighter jet. They're badass, cool. Man. They're really cool. So hopefully, I expect some fireworks in that one, and I know you guys do on Front Range Spare Change as well.
Yeah, we do, and we broke this down a little bit too. This is just a very cool situation that when these two teams get together and any military schools get together, there's nothing but respect. You like the amount of country pride out of all of these things that you see, the national anthem, the flyovers, the actual battles on the field. Like it's just a very cool game that's almost must-see.
Who did Air Force have last year? Because this was on CBS last year, too. Do they play Navy every year?
I believe they do. They all
Navy
rotate.
And Army.
So,
yep.
So whoever they played last year, the over-under was like 28.5. I'm sitting there on a Saturday, and the wind's blowing like crazy wherever it was being played. And I'm like, I'm sitting here watching the worst football and cheering. And it went under that 28.5. The over-under is 51.5. What a difference a year makes. Final thoughts on Air Force?
Love them.
I when I find that Air Force is on, I like to watch them. That triple option when it's ran to perfection, which they are doing, is a lot of fun to watch.
A lot of fun. All right, we're right here. We're in the Aloe Fiber Studios. You got questions, comments, thoughts, concerns. As Go Pokes is sharing his concerns about my previous dating life before I got married, and if a cousin slipped in there, you can text us 888-530-0043. Let's get out of here. It's the Rocky Mountain College Chicago Show presented by Big City Roadhouse. The cruel things that you said, Micah.
Or texted.
Yeah.
Do you like my lyrics to the song?
Creed Bratton impression there at the end of that. Got a little wacky there. Had wine at 9 this morning on Good Morning Noco. The wine was like 15% too, so you certainly feel it. The only thing that saved me was that I was feeling it, dude. I had 1 or 1.5 glasses of wine. Got me right where it needed to be. Big City Roadhouse brought in a ton of food. Brought the steak in. They brought in a grilled cheese, but it had like some sort of a jelly on it, and cranberry. incredible in the burger.
What was their favorite of all the stuff?
The steak. I can't find a good steak in this town anywhere.
Well, and you wouldn't think, like, because when I heard that place was coming, I was like, oh, pizza and wings and stuff.
Wouldn't
they
steak.
Do steak.
Yeah.
But the steak's like legit.
Their ribeye was incredible.
Becca gave me a bite of his.
$35 over there, too. Like $35 for a ribeye. You get the Brussels sprouts to come along with it. Which you're not a fan of Brussels sprouts?
No.
I figured you'd like Brussels sprouts.
Asparagus or green beans or
and
something.
And that's what I told him. Because they put a little bit of a lemon juice sauce on the steak. And I'm like, you throw in some asparagus and you throw that lemon juice sauce on there, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, but and I know I'm picky living out in Amish country and have my own cattle. I'm picky about the steak, and that was the best steak that I've had from a restaurant in Greeley in a long, long time. So
maybe it was one of your cows.
Ooh. There's no way of telling that it couldn't have been.
Right.
That made no sense.
I was going to make a joke and thought better of it.
Good. Shut your mouth. Big City Roadhouse. Go check them out over there. You got anything, Dad?
No.
You knew here?
There's plenty of jokes, but... none quite appropriate, probably.
Probably.
Are you still jet lagged?
I am. I really am.
You're kind of being a baby back, you know what?
I made it through the morning at work, and then here about
you were here
1
like 11:45 yeah. today, and you've just been a zombie.
Yeah,
and it's carried over to the show.
Thanks.
I don't think so. I think Mike's been on it.
Okay. Do you owe him money or something or
no,
what?
I think it's been good.
Trying to butter him up.
I've never been jet lagged before because I've never really been.
I'm in the same boat.
That travel back, we left at what would have been 1 a.m. Colorado time and got home at 7 p.m. Colorado time. So,
yeah, that would be weird.
That was a long day of travel, but...
You gonna be okay, little buddy? You gonna be able to fight through?
Give me a weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe by next Friday.
Mike needs a vacation from his Ireland vacation. Mm-hmm. All right, we're on the other side. We're going to send it out to Brian Roth. He's with the play-by-play man of the San Diego State Aztecs. What is their look on this game tonight? We'll find out. We'll also have the Shame of Crown, where somebody is getting their fourth this year, getting their fourth Shame of Crown coming up. We'll also have picks. We're going to bounce back in a big way on our picks. Can't be bad this week. You can be bad once. Can't be bad twice. Right, Derbs?
Sure.
Socrates said that. Oh. Hour number two of Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. Coming your way next.
Roadhouse.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.